Good morning, Life Tree. Good morning, man. It is so great to see your faces today. Amen. I'll tell you what, praise God. Let's just give God a praise break just for a second. Come on. Give glory to God. Come on. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have weathered the storm. We thank you for coming today. We thank those of you that are home and watching us live online. We bless you. And for whatever reason, we understand there's many, and we just bless you guys, and we say we want you to enter into the presence with us today. Amen, church? So we're so glad you're here. Thank you for accommodating us with the hand washing and the distancing. We want to continue to be cautious so we remain healthy, but God has really been good to us as a church and as a flock, and we are blessed that you are all here today to worship with us. Amen? So I'm going to ask that everybody please stand as we prepare to worship. So God, right now we come into the presence of the King of Kings. Father, we've come here, Father, as your sons and daughters to worship you. This is a magnificent day. We thank you for today is Mother's Day. And God, we thank you for the moms. God, we thank you for the heart that you've given those who have parented us over our lives, dear God. And mothers are such a blessing to us. So Father, today as we worship, Father, our heart is on the King of Kings. So, Father, today we worship. You are the only King forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Worship with us, church.
We live. King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. just thank you, Lord, that we are here in your house this morning. We thank you for your fresh outpouring. We thank you, Lord, that we are here worshiping you, God. I wouldn't want to be any other place, Jesus.
And age to age, Jesus.
worship Him this morning. Jesus, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
name you say that, church, and I surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender. Just say it to him. I surrender to you, Lord. When God brought the Hebrews out of Egypt, he brought them out of bondage to worship him. That was the purpose. And they were tested. Even though God brought them out to worship him, if we think about this and how simple that should have been, that something they would have longed for, to come out of bondage and to get on their knees before the Almighty God. After seeing him move in power and great signs and wonders, you would think that what they would want to do would be to go out and worship him. And just get on their knees and bow before him in praise and adoration. And after seeing many great things, they still doubted and they still grumbled and they still complained. But God wanted them to worship him. To worship him in spirit and in truth, as it says in the New Testament. To worship him in the fullness of who he is. God is calling us into a place of worshiping him. The words of Jesus himself, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And he says, "How I've longed to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks." Do you understand? Do you understand, church? Do you understand the bride of Christ? That God desires us to come to him right now more than ever. God is desiring the army of God to get into formation. He is desiring his people to walk in the fullness of being the firstborn. That double portion, son, that place of receiving the inheritance, the full inheritance from the Lord. And God said, even when he said to Jesus, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And this was a point in his life that he had lived many years. But it was that time when he was baptized and he came up out of the water and the Father said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And I feel like this morning I need to declare and decree over you that you are his beloved bride. You are his beloved son and beloved daughter in whom he is well pleased. And I commission you, people of God. I commission you, bride of Christ, to take your place in the full inheritance of God. Come on, somebody should be excited in here. It's time that we the people of God, take our place. You know, we are a militant church. Come on. We're a militant church. There is a side of God that many of us have not yet seen. There is a side of God that is justice. There is a side of God that gets angry. Oh yes, he gets angry. Come on. But if we could get ourselves out of the way for a moment, that he gets angry at us. God hates evil. Do you know that? God hates evil. And do you know that he is calling his bride out right now to take a stand on the earth? How many of you know that we have been called to take dominion over the earth? This is not a time to fear. This is a time to get on our knees before the living God and trust him. And trust him for who he is.
Yes.
God does not want us to run away from our trials. He says that he delivers us out of all of our troubles. It doesn't mean that we won't walk through them. Hope feels and faith sees. Hope feels and faith sees. What do you see right now? What do you see? What do you hope for? This is not a time to cower. This is not a time to run and hide. And I'm not talking about false faith where we run into things that that we have no faith to do. I'm talking about getting in the presence of God and declaring and decreeing His word over our nation, over our cities, over our counties, over our states, over our legislators, over our senators, over the people that are leading this nation, especially over Donald Trump and the First Lady and Mike Pence and the Second Lady, our Commander-in-Chief. But how many of you know that we have a true Commander-in-Chief? Come on. And how many of you know that Donald Trump, I just want to tell you, he is born again. In case you didn't know that, he is. It might not look like our little neat religious box and what we think that a Christian should look like, but at the same time, I want to challenge you to take a good look at yourself. And I'm talking to me here, too. If we wait till somebody does their life completely perfect, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus. We'd have needed you to die. But unfortunately, Jesus came as a perfect man. He was born of the Spirit, not born of man. He was born of the Spirit. Yes, He came born of a woman, but the seed came from heaven. Come on. This is not about you. And God, I pray right now that you break our religious boxes. And yes, I will keep praying this. Because God, it is my heart that we break out of our religious boxes. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I break the religious spirit. I break the political spirit that comes down on mankind and blinds our eyes, that we see through the eyes of the snake instead of seeing through the eyes of God. Come on. It's not too late. It is not too late to get on your knees before God. And I'm challenging you, and I'm going to keep saying it. Get on your face before God. These are times that are very important in our nation. I'm not trying to be heavy, because can I tell you, I'm fired up about this. I'm like, bring it on. This does not scare me. This is not a time to be heavy. This is a time to rejoice because God is good. Amen. It's a time to rejoice. It says that heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. How many of you know that's the spiritual bride? It is our spiritual power that comes from heaven above. We are empowered from heaven itself. God, we're going to worship a little bit longer because that's what we're made to do. The spiritual component of who we are is way more important than anything else. And meeting with God, being intimate with Him, is more important than anything else right now. So we're going to worship a little bit longer. And right now, I just want you to surrender everything. Psalm 34 says, "Yet when holy lovers of God cry out to Him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain, and He is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face." So as we worship, lay everything else aside. Amen. And just focus on Jesus and His presence, which means face to face. Because when you face your problems, Jesus' face is right there facing them as well.
I want to know you more. I want to know you.
the book of Ephesians it says, Now my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. I just feel like we need to understand something, that if we're sitting there waiting and we're crying out for God to give us strength or give us whatever we're asking for, you have to understand something. The Word of God says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things unseen. So when we pray for something, if we're waiting for God to drop it, like dropping something in a bucket, you have to understand that God has already done this. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen when it's already come. And it says, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union. Say life union. Through your life union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes out of presence. It comes out of your faith. So when we pray, oh God, give me strength, He already has given you strength. But faith will say, Lord, I lay a hold of that strength because your word says that you give it to me. It's the substance. Do you understand that? It's the very substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance. That means when you say it, it is the substance that has the creating power that's already working in you. And it reinforces those things in your life. And when you say, God, thank you that you strengthen me. Thank you that you empower me. Thank you, Jesus, that you have supernaturally infused me with strength. Come on. This is faith application. This is flexing your muscles. Those are faith muscles, okay? That is saying the word of God and it becoming who you are. And you contend for that on your knees. Because our carnal side will want to take control. And it'll want to process and analyze and do everything through what we can do in our own strength. And can I tell you right now, are we facing things that we can control? Thank you. No, we cannot control what's happening, but we are supernaturally infused with strength. We are supernaturally infused with the force of His explosive power flowing through you. Come on. This is the difference between religion and being spirit-filled. This is the difference. Because you know who you are. You are a firstborn son. You are a firstborn daughter. Come on. And all of the inheritance of heaven is yours. This should really excite somebody in here. It excites me because this is the time for the church to shine. This is the time. Come on. This is the time for Jesus to show Himself powerful through a faithful church. A faithful church. Not a church that waits around for Jesus to come again so we can all go to heaven. That is not why we're here.
This is our time.
Amen. It's our time. It's a great time to be alive. And I want to encourage you this morning to lay a hold of those things. That passage comes out of a place where after that it says, put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God is not just something that you say, oh God, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Is that what it is? It's more than merely saying it. It's living it. It's living it. It's going right into your trials and tribulation, being supernaturally infused with His power. Do you understand that? That's the difference. Because when Jesus said, oh, how long I have longed to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, He was telling them eventually that the temple of Jerusalem was going to be leveled. Not one stone left upon another, because the whitewashed tombs of religion wasn't producing any power. Religion was killing. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Come on. We are a glorious bride with a purpose. The other night we had a few of us praying here on Thursday, and I saw like rows of military boots. They were waiting for people to put them on. They were waiting. God was waiting. It was like God was showing me that I'm calling my bride to be the militant bride. And this is spiritual warfare, folks. This is not 101. This is 102. This is moving out of what is Sesame Street and moving into Azusa Street. And for those of you that don't know what Azusa Street is, it was a major outpouring of God in Los Angeles, where God did amazing miracles. Amazing miracles. Cancerous tumors just fell off of people's bodies. Club feet were turned in straight again. You know, this is the glorious bride. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. How are we doing? How are we doing with doing the works? Because see, religion will say, God doesn't do anything today. God doesn't heal. God doesn't prophesy. That takes away the responsibility of the bride to be intimate with God. And he keeps you right where he wants you to be, the devil does. And he lies to you. And he tells you that the power of God is not for today. It's a lie. Because the enemy's afraid of you. He's afraid of every one of you. And he's afraid of you stepping into who you really are supposed to be. And he'll keep you right under his foot. He has made his enemies a footstool. He has made them a footstool. He has given us power over the enemy. I just want to encourage you this morning. You are a powerful people. And when the time comes to stand for our rights, we will. We will. Just like Daniel did. We will. We need to know when that time is. I don't see a time in the New Testament where Jesus got a bunch of people together and protested. If you can find it, show it to me. Everything that Jesus did was navigated by the voice of his Father. Everything. Everything he did. Everything that we do should be navigated by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Everything. And he will use you, every one of you, to do exactly what he wants to do in his perfect time. It's a glorious time to be alive. It's a great time to be excited as the people of God. Come on. God is calling his church into a deep place. He is preparing us. Read the book of Revelation. It's pretty military, if you ask me. That's who we're supposed to be. And God, forgive us, Lord, for making church everything but what you ever desired it to be. I prophesy an awakening. I prophesy an awakening over this house. I prophesy an awakening over Pennsylvania. I prophesy an awakening over the United States of America. I prophesy a union over our government. I prophesy the upholding of the Declaration of Independence. I prophesy an upholding of the Constitution. I prophesy the seven fires of God, the seven spirits of God over the president, over the Oval Office, the divine government of Jesus Christ. I prophesy God's divine government over this nation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for a spirit-filled bride. And I prophesy a spirit-filled, non-fearing bride in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we just worship you and we praise you, God. are an amazing God. Forgive us, Lord, for not giving our all. Forgive us, God, where we have spoken false things from the pulpit around the world. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I prophesy lampstand churches in the name of Jesus. I prophesy lampstand churches in the name of Jesus. Churches that bring the truth, churches that bring the power in the name of Jesus. God, forgive us for where we've turned back to religion and went back into bondage, Lord. God, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. You are so good. And I just pray right now for every believer in this house. I prophesy strength. I prophesy power. I prophesy love over every one of you. I prophesy your spiritual boots, that we're putting them on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can you just praise the Lord? Just praise the Lord. Just make a little bit of noise, would you? Make a little bit of noise, amen. It's a great day to be alive. God is awesome. God is powerful. And today is Mother's Day, praise God. I'm going to have Dave Steele pray for the mothers this morning.
When I think of what a woman should be, God gave us an example. And I turn to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through the end of that chapter. So I'm just going to read it first, and then we'll pray. It's captioned, "The Epilogue, A Wife of Noble Character." Verse 10 starts out, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchant with sashes. She is clothed in strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." Father God, I thank you for the women of Life Tree and the women in our lives, God. I thank you that you set this before us. You set it before them, God, as not something that they need to judge themselves by, but something to strive towards. Lord, I thank you, and I ask you to give them honor and praise, Lord. Not just today, God, but always. Because, see, your word is not just for today. It's always been, and it always will be. So, God, I ask for your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name.
Sorry.